Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
Curtis Robinson. Curtis is the older brother of Buff Love, the human beatbox from the Fat Boys, who is now deceased. And I like to say, send my condolences out, even though it's been a while, about your brother. And for those of you who didn't know it, he did pass. You have a company of your own, am I right?
Yes, ma'am. I have a company called Tool Jams, Inc. We specialize in making kids' music and stuff. We basically, we dropped our first CD. It's doing okay and everything, but, you know, we're just looking for more listeners and stuff. It's like, it's kids' music for our kids 3 and up. And, it's pretty good. You know, I'm getting a good response from it and everything.
Okay, that's great. You're getting a great response from your company, Tune Jams, right?
Yes.
Tune Jams.
Yes.
Okay, welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I know you have been watching the news and probably talking to people and about the killings of 4 young black males. I'm going to name them. Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, John Crawford III, Ezell Ford. And I also like to include in this, these women haven't been killed, but they have been going through a lot. Marissa Alexandra is one. I just want the listeners to know that she was denied Daniel Brown's defense so far, and she could be facing 60 years here in Florida. I also want to say briefly about the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, in Alabama. They put out a report that a black lady was jailed while babysitting, and she was arrested. She was arrested while babysitting, and then the judge put her in jail. She's a grandmother, for not being able to pay tickets. And she was supposed to start a job, and she was trying to explain to the judge she needed to go to work, not be in jail, so she could pay the fines and tickets. But since she couldn't pay them that day, he went ahead and put her in jail. So I don't know if she kept her job or not. Okay. Now let's go into the interview.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with all of these, but Ezell Ford was murdered on August 11th in South Los Angeles.
Yes, I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Okay, and then there was Michael Brown, who was in Ferguson,
yeah,
Missouri.
Yeah, which is the biggest story right now, you know.
Yeah, it's a big story. 18 years old from Ferguson, Missouri. Then there was Eric Gardner, who was murdered in Staten Island. And John Crawford III, who was murdered in Walmart. I believe he was murdered in a Walmart for carrying a toy gun or a BB gun. And this happened in Walmart in Southwestern Ohio on August 5th. Now, Curtis.
Yes.
Now, you're a black male.
Yes.
And you live in New York State. I'm not going to say where in New York State. I know you've been keeping up with these murders, like a lot of millions and millions of people, because, you know, everybody's watching it. They keep saying on TV, the world is watching it, and it's true. What, in your opinion, can we do to stop these senseless murders?
Well, first of all, what I explain on my Facebook and different avenues that I use and media, explain on the Facebook, a lot of people, them being white or Chinese or from Bangladesh or Indian or whatever, they don't understand. They don't really understand the black community. We are basically a simple kind of people. You know, we don't do anything like anyone else and stuff. And, people look at us as a threat or something like that, because when you see something happen on TV, it's always black on black crime. You know, you never hear anything about white on white crime or Chinese on Chinese crime or Indian on Indian crime. You know, you never hear anything like that. Everything is black on black crime. Okay, white folks in this country do more crime than black people, you know, to my best opinion and stuff. They do more crime, but, you know, they're not on the 6 o'clock news every night. You know, especially here in New York. Every night there's something about the black community all the time. And most of the time it's negative and stuff. So, therefore, you have these law enforcement. They have that in their mind that black people are negative. They never grew up around us.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Curtis. Sorry to interrupt,
yes.
I have a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
That's much better. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so, these people never grew up around black people, so really, they don't really know the first thing about us. It's like, just because you see a group of teenagers standing on a corner, they're not necessarily in some gang or selling drugs or anything, but when the police come through, they perceive that to be a gang on the corner. But if I go to somewhere like Long Island and I see a group of white boys or something like that on the corner, they're not a gang on the corner. They're boys on the corner. And I constantly say to myself, why don't they do like how they do in Atlanta, Georgia? You know, if they have a white cop that's on duty, put a black and a white cop on duty. Because when you got to deal with a situation with black people, I think, especially with these times now, you're better off having a black officer talk to these kids more than the white officer and stuff. Because they, they have some kind of understanding about what's going on and stuff before, someone's ready to jump the gun or something like with the situation with the Eric Garner in Staten Island. Okay, I've also been in the security business and stuff for years. And, I'm a rather big guy. I'm 6'3". But I run into guys that were bigger than me that, they had an attitude problem or something like that. I talk to them and stuff, and I explain to them what's going to happen. And they calm right down, and the situation is under control. Now, see, when a white officer would approach somebody like that, the first thing they're looking to do is jump on them, or, instead of having a conversation with them to calm them down, they're ready to throw them in handcuffs, and, if it's three or four of them, they're ready to jump them. Something like that, the Eric Garner murder was senseless. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to jump on someone and try to, break their neck or something like that. You just needed some talking to and stuff. And, these are just all of these kind of problems that we run into and stuff. And it's always a white cop and a black kid. It's never a black cop with a white person or something like that, because we know how to deal with people, in the white community also. So, therefore, a black cop going in the white community is no problem, as far as speaking to someone
and stuff. But, you know, it's just a system that we have to break. You know, we need to police our own neighborhoods and stuff. We don't need somebody that grew up far away from where we grew up at coming in here trying to tell us what to do. It's better that a brother relate to them. You know, just like how they can relate to their people, you know, we can relate to our people. You know, because a lot of people, they're under the assumption that black people, all we do is hate white cops. That's not true. And stuff, it's definitely not true. And stuff, you know, we just hate the things that white cops that hate us, that we know when someone hates us. We hate what they do and stuff. That's just my opinion.
I personally believe it's just all out war on black people, not just black men, black women, black teenagers, black elderly people. I don't really believe it's just against men, not from what I've been seeing and hearing, because there are women in prison, there are women that come up dead too. And I was reading football magazine that's written in South Florida for the colleges, for all the black colleges. And this black woman was murdered in the military.
It's just a bad situation. And, you know, sometimes I blame the media. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I blame the media for this situation because when someone black does something great, you know, it hardly ever gets out, you know. And I was in a situation like that kid that chased down that kidnapper that was kidnapping that little girl. He rode his bike until he caught up with the guy and stuff, you know. That was on the news for just a little flash. But if it was some little stupid dog trick or something like that that's on TV, they're running it all over the place. You know, put up the great things that we do also. Okay, and then that'll tone down all of the rest of, all the rest of this craziness that these cops seem to have against black people and stuff. You know, that will really tone it down and stuff. And, you know, furthermore, it's like this thing with this gentrification thing, it's not making it any better because now you're bringing more police officers in the neighborhood. And already here in New York City, they're building these high-rise buildings. And then they have a section in the back where is the people that have low income. You can't get over into the high income area where they have swimming pools and workout gyms. You got to go through the back like you're some kind of butler or something like that. You know, that's segregation within a building. You know, and that's crazy. That creates racism right there. Because you know most of the black people are going to go for the low-income housing and stuff in there. So, you know, it's crazy for it to be like that and stuff. You know, I don't like it one bit. You know, I believe if it's a black neighborhood in Brooklyn, it should stay a black neighborhood in Brooklyn. I have nothing against white people. I got a lot of white friends. I got white people in my family and stuff, you know. I have nothing against that, but when you have a situation where one set of people believe that they're better than the others, or either, you know, these new people that come to the neighborhood, they have their kids, and they don't want their kids to play with the black kids, okay, that's where your problem is going to start at. You see, racism is like a plague and stuff. You know, it's never ending. It's definitely never ending. And then you have some people talk about, oh, well, black people are racist too. Black people can't be racist because we don't own anything and stuff. You know, you have to have land that you're trying to protect or something like that in order for you to be racist. We're the only race of people that allow other races of people to come into our neighborhood and live and stuff. You know, black neighborhood is like the United Nations right now. You know, but see, when the police come, they're not messing with anybody else. They want to get to the black people and stuff. But see, that's not cool. You know, that's not cool at all.
No, it's not. It's downright plain discrimination, racism, and hatred. Bigotry.
Yes.
And it's nothing funny about it. It's nothing amusing about it. It's horrible. And black women are suffering too.
Yes, I've seen this guy on a videotape on Facebook. He's from I think it's on the other side of Hawaii, some Polynesian dude, but he looks Indian and stuff. He says he doesn't, you know, he don't like black people. He's about darker than me, and I'm brown skinned, but he don't like black people. He don't like the way they act.
I'm having
like
trouble
that.
Hearing you fading out.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, he was saying that he doesn't like black people and stuff. For one thing, he's blacker than me and stuff. And, and he's from Polynesia or wherever he came from and stuff. But yet still, he has to live in a black neighborhood. But he don't like black people and stuff. And so, you know, that kind of guy, I wish I could debate. If I had a chance to ask him a question, I would ask him. I would ask him, like, okay, when you left Hawaii or wherever you came from, and you came to this country, how did you get there? And he would probably say, well, I took a cab or I drove through the streets. I would tell him, listen, those same streets and lights that you drove through, black people invented, a black person invented the traffic light. The same cell phone that you're talking on, a black person invented that. Okay, so how could you hate that? See, this is what people brainwash in other people's minds and stuff. You know, they always want to compete. I always consider
that
it
we're,
a situation.
That we as black people are inferior and they're superior. That's what I feel that is. When you say compete, I feel like when they do things like that and they make comments like that and make racist comments like that, that is
racist. Yes. Well, see, I always consider myself, I don't like to call myself African American. I call myself Black American and stuff because I never went to Africa. I don't think I'll ever go and stuff. And I'm born here in America and stuff. So I don't call myself a minority because to me that means if there's a bum and he's a white bum, that means he's supposed to be better than me. It's like, come on, you know, I don't even acknowledge that. And stuff,
but,
you know, so it's like no minority, don't call me African-American, you can call me Black-American and stuff. You know, this man here is no better than me because he might have more money than me or something like that. You know, none of that stuff, it means nothing to me, and I don't follow that and stuff. You know, I'm not belittling myself, you know, just to satisfy people who want to, you know, let me live in a category and stuff, you know. And I would advise, you know, other people to do the same because, you know, when you take those kind of titles, people look down on you, you know. And my thing is basically, you know, I don't want nobody to look down on me. If I'm a bum, able to speak, I'm going to defend myself, you know. You know, everybody else, they can do what they want to do, but I know what I'm going to do with my life and stuff, you know?
But I understand what you're saying about discrimination, but murder. I mean, I remember watching Spike Lee's film, can't think of the name of it, but they...
What, Do the Right Thing?
Do the Right Thing, yes, Mr. Spike Lee. And have you talked to him? Do you ever talk to him? I know at one time you said sometimes you do.
Yeah, I met him before. See, in New York, see, a lot of people don't understand somebody like Spike Lee has a very powerful voice. And as soon as he gets on TV and starts talking about gentrification and racism, oh, okay, they go by his old house in Brooklyn and spray paint on the wall. Okay, so it's like when you're doing stuff like that now, who's the animal then, you know, and stuff. This man is just speaking his mind. That's his American right and stuff, his freedom of speech and stuff, whether you like it or not, you know. That's your right. And a lot of people, you know, they take things like that for granted. Me, myself, I'm very outspoken. I say things that I want to say. You know, rather people like them or not, that's on them. You know, it's like, don't ask me a question and you won't get the truth, you know, because I love telling the truth. I hate lying. I love telling the truth. So if someone asks me anything, I tell them up front. If you really want to know the truth, don't even ask me. You know, that's just how
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I know a lot, sometimes people have a hard time believing that, you know. That's probably why I'm still single, but, you know, that's a whole other program, you know. If I got a girlfriend and she says, and I tell her, listen, you know, to my opinion, I don't like the perfume that you're wearing and stuff like that. You know, it smells too common and stuff. Now, she might take that the wrong way. And then if it's somebody else, they might just say, well, you know, maybe you don't like it. Maybe I should change it up or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but what's happening in Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri, with the tank, military tank, the rubber bullets, the dogs. It reminds me so much of the black and white pictures that I see on the internet and in black history books of segregation when they were fighting to not be segregated anymore during the time era of the civil rights movement. It's like it's happening all over again.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's because
black people are fighting just to keep the rights that they already have. Instead of gaining new ground, it's like black people having to fight to keep rights they already have. And they can hardly think about getting more rights. They're just trying to stop them from killing us, killing black people.
Okay, well, I'll put it to you this way. You know, and once again, this is just my opinion, right? The marches and everything that they're doing out there right now, I'm saying from my perspective, because I've attended the Million Man March before and stuff. And, you know, when Louis Farrakhan put the word out there, I got it. You know what I mean? I got it. I understood what he was saying. Now, to me, a march is, you know what I'm saying, I don't want, like, to see people get hurt and people get tear gas thrown at them and threatened at them. If you really
but
want to
But all
make
of them
a,
were, but can I just, they weren't doing all of what the report said they were doing. It wasn't, all of them were not doing that. And they made it seem like there was violent people. And it's just a wrong portrayal. It's not all true because, from what I understand, the police were doing things already before any of that started.
Right. Oh, no question. They were doing crime way before that. But see, this is something I explained to one of my nephew's friends back in the day. I said, when I was your age, and this was like when I was around 20, 21 sometime around then and stuff, you know, it's like the same things happened, but we had a certain way of dealing with it, which I can't talk about. But, we had a certain ways of dealing with it. And it calmed down for a while. So, you know, these people, they come back with a different strategy all the time and stuff. So it's like now, you know, like I explained to them, y'all have Facebook. every black person around the country, if one person told 10 people, okay, this is going to happen, then, you know, you all should come together. And then, you know what I'm saying, that makes you powerful if you can do that and stuff. You should all come together. Now, my thing is, I wouldn't waste my time with a march because, you know, that's, okay, although that's from the 60s and stuff, you have more media covering it. And when media covers things, they're making money off of you out there getting hurt. When they're reporting stories and stuff, and they got videotape, and you got people from all around the world that are hearing your stories, and then showing you on the news, and black people being beaten, locked up and stuff, and they're showing you on the news, they're making money through commercial advertising from you. Now, if you just, you know, if you just look back in the history books, go back not too far to the 60s when Rosa Parks is a black woman that changed the whole system by refusing to ride in the back of the bus. What she did was she boycotted and stuff. And that's how black people started to get things that they wanted and that started backing other people away. Now, on September 8th, they're supposed to have a blackout, which is a boycott. Don't buy nothing for one day. And I guarantee you, you will change Wall Street. Wall Street runs on a day-to-day basis. So if black people stop buying so much stuff and stuff, because we're over $1 trillion strong in the economy. We spend more money than any other race of people on the planet and stuff. If you cut that for one day, then Wall Street
would jump.
All
the black people in America cut back in one day. Just one day. All the black people decide, let's say we're not going to this certain store. I'm not going to name no stores or corporations. Let's say we all agree, which is just about it. Well, most of us agree. And we get the word, 10 people tell 10 people, and then we have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these social media sites. So what you're saying is get together and refuse to shop in a certain place until they hire blacks and things like that, and until they acknowledge certain holidays and things that black people.
You can do that from home.
Like Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, instead of, let's say it's a national store, worldwide store, international store, corporation, and they don't honor Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday.
Right.
Or his day. So what you're saying is, black people in America should get together and just not shop to that certain corporation store for a day all over America. Because you're saying we're $1 trillion strong here in the United States, right?
Yep.
All over. You're saying the United States. I thought so. Yeah, you're
the
right.
The whole world.
Boycotting.
Yeah, the whole world. $1 trillion strong.
The whole black world
The United States.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you this, Curtis. You're very intelligent. And what you said makes good sense.
Boy, I still can't find a wife yet, though.
Okay. All right. Ladies, you hear him? You say you can't find a wife. Okay.
Yeah, there's no potential of failure.
Okay. I've been receiving emails from change.org, and there have been petitions circulating online. They're asking people to share the information about having all law enforcement officers in the United States wear body cameras and also have the cameras on their cars. They said people really, a law enforcement officer started this, if I'm not mistaken, because I have the email. Do you think that
would let me ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask you this. Okay, all of the police departments that don't want to wear, in the states that don't want to wear the body camera, okay, that's where you don't shop. you know, and see, therefore, if Wall Street goes down and there's no money being made and stuff, okay, you can't get those little nice, shiny tanks and Charger police cars and Mustang police cars and all the little fancy smoke grenades and all of that. You won't even have that. You'll probably be fixing a 2,000 police car trying to get over because black people don't spend their money. And so this is what black people have to realize. Don't be out there in the street getting knocked upside your head by them cops. Make them suffer. And so, because therefore, if they can't make no money, they can't hire no police. So therefore,
right.
they ain't going to have
right.
no jobs. And so,
that's
you know,
right.
there's cities in America that only got 4 policemen in their whole state, in their whole town. And
I know.
You know?
Yeah, yes, yes. I understand what you're saying. I know here in Florida, where I am at, there's a lady named Marissa Alexandra that I was talking about earlier. And
I know who you're talking about.
And there was Martin Anderson in Panama City, Florida. He was 14 years old, and he died in a juvenile detention center. There was Jordan Davis. He was murdered by Michael, a 45-year-old white man named Michael Dunn, and he was 7th Jacksonville, Florida, and also Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida.
Yeah. Well, I should say the powers that be or the people put out the word, that, okay, you don't go messing up and shooting up people in the black community and stuff. If you do that, you're going down. And I guarantee this whole situation will turn around overnight. Now, see, these people was out here marching, what, in Ferguson, what, 5 or 6 days?
Ferguson, Missouri, yes, yeah. Ferguson,
like 5
Missouri.
Or 6 days.
Yes.
If.
They still have a... charge the police.
If you would have blacked out them for these 5 or 6 days, they would have been to lock this dude up already and stuff. I guarantee you. Because
so
they don't
want
to run that money. Huh?
You're right. They don't want to lose their money. It's the black people all over Missouri just boycott it and wouldn't shop for a day.
Yeah.
And they did it for, like, the whole time, did it for the length of time that they've been marching. You're right about this. For the length of time that they've been marching, if they refused to buy anything, they would have locked the police officer up.
Yeah.
You're right. They probably would have if they went
and
beat in 9 days without buying anything,
for one person?
Not getting any gas, not buying anything in that whole state. And if they did it all over America, boycott it until things start to change, that would help a lot because everybody understands money, including
Wall Street. Exactly. The policemen will be saying yes, sir, and no, sir, like they're supposed to. You know, they serve you. You
can't
pay their salary.
Police officers if we're not spending because, like you said, we're a trillion-dollar industry.
Yeah, that's it. And as soon as we recognize that, we'll be better off. But, see, the media don't want you to know that. Because, see, then that messes with their thing and stuff. You know, stop being on the 6 o'clock news every night. You know what I mean?
That's making them money.
Yeah.
Because they're entertained by seeing black people locked up in marches. So that's entertainment for certain races, for other races.
Yep, you're the talk at the dinner table. That's what I'm saying. You ought to talk at the dinner table. You know, why waste your time? I wouldn't waste my time going out there, and I've been telling people this for years. I'm like, I'm not even college educated, and I know this because I figured it out. I listened to what Farrakhan was saying when I was at the Million Man March. Sometimes people don't have to give you a pamphlet or a book so you can figure it out. Use your mind. You know, the mind is more powerful than a computer. And stuff. Use your mind. And stuff, you know, and then you can figure out anything that you want to. And stuff, you know. It's like, I should put it to you today. Okay, I bought me 2 pairs of sneakers. That's online. And stuff, you know. When I called and ordered the sneakers online, the lady was very nice. she gave me a good price and stuff. You know, I was treated like a human being. I'm spending my money. I'm getting treated like a human being.
Because you're spending your money.
Right, because I'm spending my money. People, black people, you're spending your money on the police. That's your tax money. So why can't they treat you nice instead of pulling you over, writing you bootleg ticket and stuff like that? Because they can't. They ain't doing that in a white neighborhood because they know better and stuff. They know better and stuff. So therefore, you know, you got to pull it together. You know, you have to pull it together one way or the other. You have to pull it together. And stuff. That's all it is. You know, it's
amazing. It's amazing. I just thought about what you said. It makes perfect sense. We're, 12% of the United States of America?
Yep.
And right here in the United States of America, black people spend $1 trillion a year.
Yeah.
In merchandise buying.
Yeah, that's how much spending power that we have. $1 trillion. Now, if you see an Indian guy will wear a shirt for 15 years before you buy another shirt. That's not a black American person. It's like, no, we got to have the new style as soon as they come up. It's like, sure, they save their money and they spend more money than us, but, yeah, they save their money and they have more money than us. But it's like we know how to make a good time out of nothing, and that disturbs people and stuff. It disturbs people deeply and stuff, you know? It's like when we have nothing else better to do, we'll sit out there and harmonize on the corner or tell jokes or something like that, you know, or have a cookout. You know, that's just what we do. And stuff, you know, that's what they do, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like pay attention, you know. Every other race of person, they can come in our neighborhood and they can make money. They can open stores and Chinese restaurants and this and that. You can't take your black business over into nobody else's neighborhood. You can't do it. And stuff, they will never support you. But we support everybody. So until we get our respect, shut them down.
Okay,
you know,
that's right.
If
open restaurants in a certain race, a certain nationality, neighborhood, then don't spend money with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like the nails. You're talking about, well, what about the nails? You see a lot of Oriental people doing nails. If they don't want to treat us right and don't want to hire us, then don't shop there. But it's an even deeper problem with the killing. I mean, that's horrible. These lives are gone. That's only four. And then there's three more, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis.
There's
Martin
a whole Anderson. Lot more before that.
It's a whole lot more before. Yeah, lynchings. You're talking about lynchings and just straight-out murder. And just what this is. But you're saying with those murders, no matter how horrible it is, if they just stop spending for, let's say, a week, 2 weeks, black people all over the United States of America, it would make a difference and would make Wall Street and these corporations sit up and notice. Do you think it would change Washington, D.C.? Because some of them own corporations, have stock in corporations. Do you think it would change anything in Washington, D.C.?
It would change the world.
State government. It would change the world.
It would change the world. Remember when Mitt Romney was running for president, and he let it slip.
Yes.
He said corporations are people. He let that slip. You know what I mean? He let that slip.
Yes.
Corporations are people and stuff. He let that slip because if the people don't support corporations, you got nothing. You have nothing. And stuff. We let Wall Street go down there. The Wall Street people will tell every police person across the country. They'll tell them, listen, If you don't get this straight with these communities, especially with the black community, you guys will be riding bicycles by the end of the month. You know, they'll tell you. They'll tell you that. And stuff, and it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, you see all of these Targets and BJs all over the place. Black people. Black people.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's like, so what? Okay, you bring jobs into the community. Some people are going to have to hurt a little bit as part of the game. You're going to have to hurt a little bit in order for us to get everything right. That's what you have to do. And stuff, you know? But people don't hear me. They don't hear me. No, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get out there. I don't want to be an activist. There's people that can do it better than me. They might not think like me, but they can do it better than me. And stuff, you know? I have other things to do, you know?
Yes, I know. I understand you don't call yourself an activist, but you're very intelligent, and that makes plenty of sense about Miss Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
One little lady. And you know what hurt me so bad? And at the time, I wish I had the money and stuff to straighten that situation out for her. Before she died, she was living in the hood in Detroit, and someone robbed her house. Now, with all of this stuff and all of this money that all of these black guys or whatever got companies and stuff that got, no one couldn't reach out in her golden years and say, look, Miss Rosa, we're going to buy you a beautiful house and a beautiful neighborhood, and we're going to provide you with a driver to take you anywhere you go because you helped me, you know, for what you did to the civil rights. Nobody did that.
Nobody did it for Miss Parks?
Nobody did that for Miss Parks, and it hurt my heart. I wish I could have did. I wish I could have done something.
How did she live then? What way did she live? What are you trying? I don't understand what you're saying.
No, what?
Please explain.
She could have been living. She could have been living a better way before she passed for the things that she's done for black people in this country, and so she could have been living a better place. She could have had a better. She could have had a better house and a better neighborhood. You know, that's all I'm saying. She could have had a better house and a better neighborhood.
That just shows you how unappreciative black, and that shows you how unappreciative some of us are. And also some of us, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but it's true. Some of us are unappreciative. And another thing I think is a bit of the problem, the younger generation, they don't know who they are or where they came from, and that's my true opinion.
If you're correct. Been,
I really believe that, that history,
yeah.
If they knew their history, if they knew the history of the black people and how we got to America, they wouldn't be saying it's a different time period. They won't
right.
be saying
well,
this is a different time period. You stuck in the past. If they knew their history, if more young black people knew their history, I believe a lot could be changed. More of them knew their history. I know there are young blacks doing positive things, but they're not going to show that on mainstream media. They're not going to show the good things the young blacks are doing. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I went to a ceremony over there in Tallahassee. The African Methodist church has the AME church, and they have this like ball. This where all the girls get together that are in a certain area. In North in Florida, from Tallahassee to Panama City, or wherever, they all wear white. They all wear white dresses, white gloves. It's like a coming out ceremony, and it's held in a church. And the men, young men wear tuxedos. It's just a beautiful event. And that I didn't see that on TV anywhere. I mean, I don't know if people felt that was too snobby. They just weren't interested. But it was a beautiful. There was at least 60, 70 of them, young men and women. They're about 16, anywhere from 16 to 18 or 21.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were in college. some of them on their way. It was beautiful. They had on their white dresses. The men had on their white, young men had on their white tuxedos. And I didn't see one thing about that on TV that happened over in Tallahassee, Florida. And it happens every year, and I never see anything about it.
Yeah, because, see, the media considers that to be a cheap story. Anything that's not grimy or messy, anything positive about black people is a cheap story, and they don't want to put it in the media.
It's a cheap story.
Every now and then they'll put something up there, but not, you know, not, it's not an everyday thing. You know, that's just how it is. You know, that's how it is. But see, you have to change that. You know. And so if somebody asks me how much I work, I'm going to tell them I'm priceless and stuff. You know, you can't, you know what I'm saying, you can't buy me. And if somebody asks me, well, who's the smartest person you ever know, I'll tell them my father. That's what I tell them. And stuff, you know. And, like, people ask me, they said, well, do you think, how do you think the president not doing nothing for black people? I tell them, the president, he's a black man. He, you know what I'm saying? There was never no president that's just for black people. If you want that, you'd have to go to Africa or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, Obama is not your father. Okay? Do things on your own. You're grown. If you're educated, you're educated. Okay, figure things out on your own and stuff, you know. Obama is not your father. That man does things that he don't even talk about and stuff, you know.
Good
but thing. People never acknowledge that. They don't see through the cracks.
Health care,
you know?
The Affordable Health Care Act is one of the best programs that has been brought to the United States of America. I really believe that because I had family who did not have insurance who can have it now.
Yeah.
Who couldn't even go to the doctor without running up a $2,000 bill.
Yeah. You see, he's not bragging on that. You know, you talk about a man that stopped the Iraq war when the soldiers came home. There wasn't no celebration or nothing for the soldiers coming home. That's why they felt unappreciated. And stuff, but this is all hate because this is a black president that's doing all this. And stuff, so it makes me feel bad when black people say, well, Obama, he not like somebody like Eric Dyson. Yeah, well, Obama, he need to do more and he need to do something. What would George Bush do? George Bush wouldn't do anything. You see how he handled Hurricane Katrina. He wouldn't do anything.
George Bush could care less about Hurricane Katrina and Kanye West. President Bush does not care about black people, and Kanye West was right.
Yeah, you know, it's like Obama, he inspired me. I got the message. I got the message and stuff. You know, when he said, you know, I never knew who he was, and come to find out years ago, I met him in Chicago, but I forgot. And stuff, but it's something that he said. I didn't, you know, when he was first running, I never paid him no, but never mind, until I was doing something, but I was listening to the TV. And when I heard him say, that ain't right, that's when I took notice to see what he's talking about, because I've never heard a president say that before and stuff. And I said, okay, this is who I'm going to vote for. He understand my situation and stuff. And you see, he got elected 2 times.
Yes. And for them to say he's not doing anything, it's like you say, he does things that they don't even realize he's doing. They forgot how he extended unemployment. They've already forgot that. They forgot about the stimulus, forgot about how they have health insurance and can go to the dentist now.
Bin Laden. They forgot about
what
that. Bin Laden. Bin Laden, yeah. And they forgot when it was the oil spill. You know what I'm saying? He was the one that called that big ship that came and sucked up all the oil. Nobody said nothing else about it. They probably didn't even know that ship existed, but he knew.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. BPP, the British Parliament. BP stands for British Parliament. I believe the Queen of England owns BP. But, yeah,
yeah,
when they had the spill in the Gulf, oil spill, people got millions of that.
Yeah.
Still getting paid down here in Northwest Florida, the panhandle.
Yeah.
Especially them along the beach and in Alabama, too. Like I said, President Obama, the Affordable Health Care Act, the stimulus money he sent out, the extension of unemployment. Like you said, the British Parliament, the BP oil, he sent the ship out, it cleaned up. He did so much. He started my brother's keeper. But it's like you said, he's not the president of just black people. That black people have to go to South Africa, Africa, the continent Africa.
Yeah, if you want to hold, if you want a black president for black people, go to Africa and do what you need to do and stuff. If the lions chase you or whatever, then you do what you got to do and stuff, you know. But it's not going to be me. And, you know, I had dreams one time of going to Africa, and people tell me, yeah, go, Kurt, walk along the Nile. And I go walking along the Nile, and I look right there, and here's a lion looking right at me. Now, I'm too far away to run back because I know the lion going to catch me, and I always wake up with that dream.
Okay, don't talk about the mother country because that's where I want to visit one day.
No, you don't want to do it. I'm telling you. You don't want to do it.
Don't talk me out of it on the radio. Don't talk me out of it. Tell me later.
If you want to see the lions, go to the zoo. Trust me. You know? Trust me.
So with, you said boycott if they don't wear these body cameras and cameras and have the cameras in their police cars. They have that here where I live at. They already have it. Matter of fact, they have traffic. They have cameras at traffic lights, the traffic light that a black person invented. They got cameras in them now all over Florida.
It's just
a red light, and 2 or 3 weeks go by, and then you go to your mailbox, and you open the mail. What is this? It's a picture of your tag, your vehicle, and you just over the line at a red light.
No, well, you know what kills me also? When these little racists be so-called going to their little rallies and stuff like that, and, you know, they hate black people and the N-word this and the N-word that, and stuff like that. You should thank black people for getting you there safely because you had stopped at the light.
That's like when they're having all these hate rallies. Hate rallies and them white sheets and all that crazy, all that stuff where they plotting how they're going to get rid of the black race and the Mexicans and everybody. They ought to thank the black people that they have a traffic light to get to stop.
Yeah, if Billy Bob got to call John Boy on the phone to get him to come and meet up, just remember a black man invented the cell phone.
A black
man invented
the cell phone, okay.
Yes.
I believe you.
This is American
intelligence.
He invented the cell phone and stuff, so therefore you're hating on black people, but everything you're doing consists of black people all day. You know, that's what I'm saying. We make the world go round. You know, that's what, you know, nobody don't understand that. But
black people make the world go round. All right.
That's the truth. Yeah, the prisoners in China, they exercise the Michael Jackson Thriller. And stuff, Stone. They be in sync, too, just like the video. Be dancing off a Thriller. That's how they exercise.
They still dance off Thriller. Michael Jackson was a great artist. I mean,
the prisoners in China.
He was a perfectionist.
Yeah, the prisoners in China, they're wearing their orange jumpsuit while they're in jail and stuff. They line out in the courtyard when it's time for them to exercise. They throw a Michael Jackson Thriller. They got the steps back down, too. And stuff, you know, they do their thing.
Yeah.
But yet still you have people that hate black people. And I just don't understand why. And stuff, you know. I mean, if you're a real man, you know, if you're a real man and you feel, okay, you don't like this black person, in. You can't stand his guts. Let's get in the boxing ring. He ain't got to shoot nobody. Let's get in the boxing ring. You know, because if you give a black man a gun and then a white man has a gun, somebody going to get hurt. You know, it all depends on who does what first and stuff. So, you know, it's like that's just how it is and stuff. But getting, you know, getting back to these brothers, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the only way you're gonna settle this situation and stuff with everything that's going on with these cops acting stupid and whatnot, you know, personally, I think they're part of the Klan, if you ask me.
Yes, they are part of the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan, yes. Yes, the White Knights, as they call it. It's like they have a say in my family. They wear suits now. They're not in sheep anymore. They wear suits. They wear clothes.
Yeah.
They judges. They're pastors.
And,
they're mayors.
Yeah. And they're also on Wall Street, is what I'm
telling.
They're
also on Wall Street. The Ku Klux Klan is on Wall Street. And we are $1 trillion strong. We black people, us black people, we can shut Wall Street down.
You got it. You got it. And so anybody want to know the history and then prove to you 100%, look up the history of Black Wall Street in Oklahoma, where black people was running the whole city off of what we were doing and stuff. And
it won't bring
their
lives back. It won't bring those young men's lives back, all those men and women's lives back. And the ones that are in prison, that's ridiculous. So that's got to change, too. That's got to change. There's something very wrong with the criminal justice system. I know there are plenty of black men and women who are doing great. I'm not saying that black men and women aren't doing great here in the United States of America. There is a problem when black people make up 12% of the United States of America, 12 to 13%, but I said 12%, and they only make up 12% of the United States of America, but they make up well over half, or what, 60%, 65% of the prison population, and we only 12% here in America. So you take 400 million people and divide it into 12, they'll tell you how many of us it is and why we're called a minority.
Yep. They want us because we are the best. We are the best.
Black people are the best. And we can stop
and me,
this killing by boycott.
Yeah.
We can't bring the lives back. We cannot bring the lives back. And we might even could free some of those people that are in prison who should not be there.
Instead of them marching for the murder, march for a boycott. That's what you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of marching,
and then,
boycott.
Yeah,
instead of marching like they did in the 6th boycott and Miss Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. You do what you got to do. That's what you do. And stuff. And I guarantee you 100% that it will work.
Yes.
It will
work. Like
I
said, it will work. Okay, I got 90 seconds, Curtis Robinson.
Okay.
All right. So thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I appreciate it, and I hope somebody heard you and will take you advice. Like you said, you don't want to be an activist, civil rights activist, but you said
I'm just a normal everyday guy.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. but they could put it better than you, but I think you did a darn good job myself. But you're more than welcome. Oh, and thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Listeners, I also want you to know about In His Own Time, the book by Tamara Fraser, the book In His Own Time. She wrote it on life story of her coach, Coach Faye Baker, who was injured in a car accident in Georgia on I-95. I also want you to remember James McDonald. The Love I Never Had is a great book. He's an inventor also. And I also like for you to meet Tawana Lael. She's a singer. Don't forget to check her out and purchase her CD, Crazy Love, and some of her old CDs too. You can find, I've been posting like crazy for these people. So, Airport Antiques in Hatfield, Georgia. And I'm running out of time. I didn't get everybody. Everybody have a good night.
Okay, good night.